Let's turn to the scriptures and to read together in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 1. Therefore, since through Christ's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So let us now turn our hearts and our minds to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to give a little title to what I'm saying this evening as follows: Getting Strength by Looking at Unseen, Present and Future Eternal Realities. Getting strength by looking at unseen realities. We talked this morning about getting strength by looking back at the weakness of the cross. Today, this evening, we're still thinking about weakness and how to keep going and how to get strength, not to lose heart. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 starts out with those words in the first verse. We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. And it repeats those words again in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always shocked. I shouldn't be, but I still am shocked when I hear of someone I've known to be a Christian or taken to be a Christian, apparently going on well for many years. Then suddenly I hear that they've stopped even going to church. Or worse, sometimes they will say that they are now agnostic. They don't know whether the Bible's true or not, whether there is a God or not. Sometimes they go even further and become atheists. They're opposed. They say there is no God. It's all fake. And that's always very, very shocking, isn't it? That that could happen. But it does happen. Even to missionaries. It can happen to any of us. And we need to humble ourselves and ask for more grace so that we do not become like them and lose heart. Discouragement can come in. It's a temptation. It's a trial. Whenever things are not going well in our lives, perhaps even in spiritual, the spiritual progress we expected we're not making, or we feel hurt by things that have happened to us. Why should bad things happen to that good person, maybe in our family, or even to us? And we become bitter, even against God sometimes. We become discouraged. Or maybe sometimes it's the way we've been treated. Even sometimes inside the church, nobody cared about me, or they treated me badly, or that wasn't fair. And these thoughts come in to our minds, and discouragement comes, and the devil is always there, of course. He's happy for us to give up and to lose heart. So we have to be on guard, and we have to look for ways to make sure we don't lose heart and don't give up following and serving. And so when the Apostle Paul frames his chapter here with these two verses, twice he's saying, we do not lose heart. He's obviously in a context where he's encouraging himself and encouraging his friends in the church in Corinth not to lose heart. He's giving them reasons why they should not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That therefore indicates reason, the reasons why we do not lose heart. He's been explaining those reasons. He's holding on to solid reasons that persuade him to continue to keep on serving, no matter the risks, no matter the opposition, no matter the difficulties. And of course, this losing of heart for him, it wasn't that it was easy for him. He had difficulties. He faced opposition. He faced, if you look at the context, verses 2, for example, talks about those who use secret and shameful ways. He says, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. But others were doing this. They were opposing fake preachers, fake pastors. And there was this opposition. He was experiencing suffering. If you read down verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. We've been talking about the persecuted church. Paul knew what persecution was. So there were all these things against. And he felt the physical weakness, verse 16. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Maybe he felt the body was weakening. Weakness, even to the point of death. That was the prospect, not easy. Not an easy contact. How do you keep going? Well, where do we get strength to not lose heart? By looking, first of all, at present unseen realities. Present. And then we're looking a little later at future. Although there's a kind of overlap between these. Remember I said that this morning we look back to the cross. And it's vital we still look back to the cross and remember what God has done at the cross. But then there's the present situation, and then there's the future. But the present, there's present realities that the Apostle Paul is looking at. And what are those present realities, those unseen realities? Well, even in the first verse, he refers to a ministry, the ministry we've been given. Since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. It's something God has given, a merciful. He feels privileged that he has had this mercy, this grace from God, this goodness of God to give him service, opportunity to serve God. And he has some great realities that support him in doing that and not giving up and not losing heart. I want us to see three present realities. One is the treasure we have. I love verse 7. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4 is a precious verse, maybe to many of us, if we know our Bibles well. This is one of those verses that stands out. We have this treasure, he says, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The treasure we have this treasure. Let's stop there for a moment. The treasure, the reality of the treasure. Now, what is this treasure? It's not money. It's an unseen thing. Well, it takes physical forms, but to the world it's kind of unseen because it's not considered important to the world, but it was important to him. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the Scriptures. Back in verse 2, he talks about those who distort the Word of God. But he said, on the contrary, we are setting forth the truth plainly, and so on. So the Word, the truth of God, the Word of God, the written Word of God is the treasure. And within that truth, there is, of course, the message about Jesus, the gospel, the good news that displays the glory of Christ, verse 4, the image of God. Who is the image of God? God revealed. What is God like? You see it when you see Jesus. Jesus reveals God. Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. He is God with us, Emmanuel. He is among us. This is the treasure that has come into Paul's experience and into Paul's life and is working in his heart and mind. And this is the treasure that he's talking about, that we have this treasure. We have this great message. We have something wonderful, someone wonderful that makes life worth living and that makes us not want to give up. The treasure we have, that's a present reality. And we've been given an opportunity to promote this treasure. In Ephesians, Paul talks about preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, making known the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's his aim and his passion, the treasure, the riches of Christ. Get it out there. Tell people we've got something wonderful to share with the world. The treasure we have, that reality, the reality of a living Christ, a risen Christ, can't be seen, but he's real. He's there. He's alive. And we can know him as our treasure. Is he your treasure this evening? I hope so. And then, as well, that's part of the reality. The second aspect of this present reality is the clay pots. The clay pots are not much to shout about. They're just ordinary. One of the translation, the Message translation says, unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. Ordinary people, human beings, he describes as clay pots. And someone has said, I don't know, it's interesting, that these clay pots, well, several things you can think about if you've ever worked with even clay pots in your garden. Don't drop them too easily, or you might see them in pieces, isn't that right? They're easily broken. So take care of them. Our bodies, our lives are fragile, and we're weak, back to weakness again. You see, we have this treasure in earthen pots, clay pots. Nothing special, nothing very strong, nothing to shout about. But in that weakness, there's a treasure. In that frailty, in that fragility, in that human weakness, maybe despised by the world, prone, even if we're honest, prone to sin. There's a hymn that talks about prone to leave the God I love. We are prone to wander, prone to leave the God who has blessed us, prone to turn aside, prone to sin, prone to break down or suffer a breakdown of one kind or another. That's the reality. That's the weakness. But that doesn't mean we should give up, because this weak person that you and I can contain a treasure. Now, a little illustration of that, which may have been in the mind of the Apostle Paul, is that it's reported that in the ancient world, people used to hide valuables. Remember, they didn't have banks maybe as easily available as we do. They would have hidden valuables in an ordinary clay pot so that if a robber came, they wouldn't easily find it. In our bookshops in Nigeria, of course, we try to encourage the staff not to keep much cash on site. There's a danger robbers will come there too. But sometimes they do, and I've discovered them hiding money in an old cardboard box. You know, it doesn't look like anything. If anybody come in, it's not in the cash box, it's not in the safe, it's in an old cardboard box. But they know which box it is and where it is. Well, that's the kind of picture. Clay pots, but there's a treasure, something precious. And the Apostle Paul says, look, let there be no division among us. Because what he says in chapter 3, what is Apollos, what is Paul? Only servants, only clay pots. He doesn't want to boast about himself. He doesn't want to claim credit. He's rather ready to be even take knocks, even to be despised, not to be thanked. You know how people like to be thanked, that they do anything, even around the church sometimes. And then if they're not mentioned or not thanked in the official document or whatever it is, then they say, oh, they never mentioned me. But that's not the attitude. The attitude is we have a privilege of carrying this treasure. And even the Apostle Paul says in verse 9, he says, we are persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. One translation, the Moffat translation, maybe he was thinking of the world of boxing. Knocked down, but not knocked out. I like that. Knocked down, but not knocked out. So ready to get back up again and continue the fight. So this is the Apostle Paul in his weakness. But the realities sustain him. The treasure is there. Yes, in earthen or in clay pots, earthen vessels, as the old translation says. Because of the power. Where is the power coming from? That's the third vital reality. The power of the God we trust. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So it's the power of God. Sometimes you wonder at how people keep going. A friend I heard speaking was talking about his grandmother. She was a missionary in Africa. And his grandmother suffered losses there. First of all, her husband died, and she buried him in Africa. She continued to work. Then her daughter died. She was buried in Africa, and the mother, the grandmother, continued the work. And eventually, when she did come home and reflected on her life and her service, she said, "I have two graves in Africa, but no regrets." That's a courageous thing to say, isn't it? Two graves in Africa, but no regrets. Only the grace of God can give people the power of God in that grandmother's life. And the grandson was continuing the story and continuing the missionary service himself. So this is the power of God, and we need to depend on that in our various churches, you here in Shaftesbury Square congregation. It's only the power of God can change lives. It's only the power of God can touch people, can reveal himself to blinded minds. Paul talks about the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. It's only the power of God can make the blind to see. A few weeks ago, we had the privilege of meeting a Moroccan believer. And he was in a town of 80,000 people. As far as he was concerned, and as far as we were concerned, he's the only believer in that town. He doesn't know any other Christian. In a town of 80,000 people, he's the only believer. But he's studying the Bible, and he loves the Lord, and he's going on seeking fellowship with others, sometimes over the internet. And now we were able to meet with him, and our son, who's been working there, was able to have a Bible study with him. And it was so lovely to hear him say, he said, "I don't know why. I don't know why God chose me. Out of these 80,000 people, why me?" That's what he was saying. But he was rejoicing that God's grace had reached him. The power of God. The power of God to keep going. We do not lose heart because of these present realities. The treasure, yes, in clay pots, but the power of God is at work. One of our friends in Joss is a pastor called Sunday. They love to name people of the day of the week they were born. So we know lots of people named by the day of the week. So Pastor Sunday, Sunday Gomna is his name, was a pastor in Joss. He's moved from there now. But when he was ministering in Joss, there were various riots. And in fact, his church was burned down twice. They suffered under attacks from the Muslim community around them. But on the following Sunday, after one of these occasions, he gathered the church. The roof was gone, the pews were destroyed, but they met anyway in the shell of the building with rubble all around them. And he said three things. He said, I'm glad about three things. One, he said, "I'm glad that our people did not kill Muslims." Secondly, he said, "I'm glad they did not burn our church." And they were saying, "What about the fire?" Because it was burned as well as destroyed, physically pushing things over and so on. But the fire, they had set fire to it. So they said, people were looking at him, "What do you mean they didn't burn the church?" He said, "The people, you're alive. You weren't burnt in the church. It was only the building." And thirdly, he said, "I'm glad they burned my house," because his house was next door to the church and it was set on fire as well. He said, "I'm glad they burned my house so I can better pastor you, because I understand what you're going through. Some of their houses have been burned." I don't know if I could have said that. That's the power of God. That's the grace of God. Not seeking retaliation. And he reached out to the neighbors, the Muslims, the community round about. On another occasion after this, as they'd rebuilt again, Muslims actually came and protected the church against other Muslims because they had become a friend of Pastor Sunday. Thank God for people like that. Getting strength to not lose heart by looking at unseen but real present realities. The treasure in jars of clay to display the power of God. But a little further ahead, I want us just take a few minutes to think not just at the present realities, but the future, unseen, eternal realities. Because verse 16, we get another, therefore we do not lose heart. And then he continues to explain his reasons. And these are future looking. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. What is he saying here? He's saying, let me read it first of all. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Pastor John Piper has said that this is Paul's way of not losing heart. Looking at what you cannot see. Looking at what you cannot see. Now that sounds stupid when you say it. How can you look at something if you can't see it? But you have to see this is unseen realities. But realities, real truth, real, eternal, lasting, important things, realities we can call them, which can't be seen but are nevertheless real. Let's think about them for a minute. One of the things that Paul was able to see was the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 6. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then again, verse 6. His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Seeing the glory of Christ. Now, the Apostle John writes in John 1, he says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. People saw the glory of God in Jesus. Now, not everybody saw it, but John saw it. It was hidden from many people, partly because they were blinded, and partly because the full glory was not seen. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it were, some of the glory shone out, the true glory of Jesus. The glory he has now, back with the Father. He's still alive, and he has a glorious appearance. He has a glorious appearance. We read, interestingly, this. The early apostles had a glimpse of this, and some of the early disciples, including the first martyr, Stephen. We read at the end of Acts 7, that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus. He saw the glory of Jesus. Now, we can't literally see that, but by faith, we believe Jesus is glorious. And by faith, we can see him. That's a wonderful reality. And a wonderful truth to hold on to that helps us not to give up. And then Paul was also convinced that God was doing something inside him. Again, an unseen reality. He says in verse 16, and though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We're being renewed day by day. So God was doing something inside him. God was renewing. God was refreshing. That's the power of God again at work. And also then there was a future. Verse 16, he goes on to say, verse 14 says, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Here is the future. Now, the future. Reality. This will happen. Paul is convinced of it. It's not just maybe, hope so. It's a sure and certain hope. It's something that motivated Paul. It's something that inspired Paul. It's something that kept him going. Jesus was raised from the dead. Therefore, we will also be raised from the dead. That's the way he reasoned. You can read more of it in 1 Corinthians 15, but it's in brief right there. The one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. When he comes back again, we will be raised up with Jesus, to be with Jesus, and we will be presented before God. We who are weak, we who are sinners, will be presented and accepted in the presence of God. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful prospect. These are the things, these are the realities that kept Paul going. And finally, Paul was able to see things in the light of eternity. He says in the last verse, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. So easy to become focused on what was seen, the properties, the things, the cars, the houses, the money in the bank, all those things. We put our trust in those things. But that's not Paul's focus. We focus, he says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, it's passing, it won't last forever. All these things will be gone. But what is unseen is eternal. This is the value. This is the value that Paul puts on the future reality. And he's so sure of that reality that that keeps him going. He's getting strength by looking at unseen, present, and future eternal realities. This is what encourages him. So when you get down, when you get discouraged, when you feel like giving up, when you think it's not worthwhile, think about these things. Look at what you can't see. Don't just look at what you can see. So easy to be discouraged, even by others around us sometimes giving up, or not many people at the prayer meeting, or few people came to the mission event. But we're not focusing on what is seen, and we're looking at what is unseen. That is the treasure. That is the power of God. That is the eternal values, the eternal things that matter, the things that last. The things, as someone has said, that it's only what's done for Christ that will last. So keep that in mind. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Keep trusting and keep looking at what is not seen, the eternal things that will last forever. May God bless his word to us as we continue to serve him.